This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Years ago, in the early 1970s, when I was around 10 years old, I remember how I enjoyed watching kids' shows on Saturday morning TV. And one of my favorite shows back then was called Shazam. So what was Shazam all about? Well, there was this teenage boy who lived a fairly normal life, except for this special talent that he had. Whenever someone was in trouble, or if there was some evil person that needed to be apprehended, all this teenage boy had to do was go off to some secret place and say, Shazam, and suddenly his appearance would be transformed into this Superman-like hero. Now, of course, this show was only pretend. There really is no teenage boy who can say Shazam and then transfigure into a superhero. However, the event we heard about in our gospel reading today is not a pretend story. It's not for Saturday morning children's programming. Instead, this event really did happen at a specific place and at a specific time. Now, what event am I talking about? Well, listen to Mark chapter 9, verse 1, where we hear these words of Jesus. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power. Now, Jesus spoke those words to his 12 apostles. But what did Jesus mean when he said that some of them would not die before they saw the kingdom of God come with power? Well, simply put, Jesus was pointing ahead to the event commonly known to us as the Transfiguration. In fact, in Mark 9, verse 2, we read about this event. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. Now, what does it mean that he was transfigured? Well, as we heard in the children's sermon, it means that his appearance changed. The ordinary Jesus revealed himself in all his divine power and glory. In fact, even Moses and Elijah were brought back from the dead to stand there with Jesus. But why would Jesus do this? Well, in order to understand the purpose of the Transfiguration, we need to hear again those words that the Father spoke from heaven during that event. In fact, I'm going to focus on three specific words that the Father spoke to the three apostles while they were there on the mountain. Remember, God said to them, listen to him. Now, why would the Father need to tell the apostles to listen to Jesus? I already explained that a little bit in the children's sermon, but I will go into detail now. You see, if we want to understand why the Father had to say this, we'll need to examine an event that took place 6 days prior to the Transfiguration. In Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 33, we witness an interesting question and answer session. Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say I am? Well, the disciples proceed to share the various opinions that the people of that day had about Jesus. All these opinions were different, except in one detail. All these opinions agreed that Jesus was not God. He was only a man. Oh, a special man, but only a man. Now, we can find the same wrong opinions about Jesus today. If a few members of Concordia decided to travel around the United States and do sidewalk interviews in various cities, I'm sure we'd find many different opinions about Jesus. Some would say that he was one of many famous prophets who pointed the way to God on the level of Buddha or Muhammad. Others would say that he was an advocate for the poor and the socially marginalized. Still others would view Jesus as a political revolutionary. And I'm sure we could even find some who would think that Jesus was some sort of magician who fooled people with sleight of hand tricks. In fact, I'm sure we could find many more opinions as well. However, after Jesus had asked this first question, he then asked a question that got a bit more personal. Jesus said to his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" Well, I'm sure there were several moments of silence, but then suddenly Peter spoke up and he said, "You are the Christ." My friends, Peter spoke the truth. But what does it mean that Jesus is the Christ? Well, that word Christ is the Greek version of the Hebrew word Messiah. And both of those words mean the Anointed One. So simply put, Peter was saying that Jesus is the chosen Savior whose coming was predicted in the Old Testament Scriptures. But even more than that, and we get this if we read Matthew's Gospel, we see that Peter also believed that Jesus was God. Why? Well, Jesus had done a whole lot to prove this. If you remember last Sunday, if you were here, Jesus pronounced forgiveness as though he were God himself. And then he went on to heal a paralyzed man to prove that he was God who had the authority to forgive sins. In addition, the Gospel of Mark records many wondrous miracles of Jesus that prove that he is God in the flesh. Our readings for today are from the end of Mark 8 and the first part of Mark chapter 9, but if you read the first several chapters of Mark, you will witness many amazing things that Jesus did that only God can do. In fact, in Mark chapter 4, we read how Jesus stopped the storm and calmed the waves of the sea by only speaking a word. His disciples then said to themselves, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Well, they knew who he was. Only God, the Creator, can control his creation. So when Peter said, "You are the Christ," he was speaking the truth. And this should also be our answer, my friends, because what Peter said is the truth. And in our modern world where we find many erroneous opinions about Jesus, we are called to continue to speak the truth, that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal Son of the living God. But does Jesus really want us to tell others the truth? Yes, he does. You might recall in the Gospel reading, Jesus told his apostles not to tell anyone about him until after the resurrection. But since we live after the resurrection, it's obvious that Jesus does want us to proclaim to the world who he is. But that leads to a question. Why did Jesus not want the apostles to tell other people about him before his resurrection from the dead? Well, you have to understand the unique situation at that time in Jesus' ministry. If you read the first few chapters of Mark's Gospel, we see that Jesus is actually more than willing to let people know that he's God. Again, I refer to last Sunday where we saw that Jesus went out of his way to prove that he was God. But now in Mark chapter 9, Jesus tells his disciples to be quiet about his identity. Why? Well, sadly, at this point in his ministry, some who believed that Jesus was the Christ and also believed that he was God, these same people were not willing to hear what Jesus had to say about his mission. As we heard last Sunday, Jesus came to this world to preach that people should repent of their sins and trust in him for forgiveness and eternal life. Jesus even did some miraculous signs to prove that he is God and that he can give us this salvation. But as time went on, many Jews did not want to hear what Jesus had to say about forgiveness or eternal life with God. Instead, they wanted Jesus to be a superhero. They wanted Jesus to say Shazam and then use his power to give them health, wealth, and prosperity. Imagine the people who saw Jesus transform a few bits of food into enough to feed thousands of people. They were probably thinking, boy, if we hang out with this Jesus, our grocery budget will go down considerably. But even more, they wanted Jesus to destroy the Roman Empire, which had ruled over the Jews for several hundred years. At this point in the ministry of Jesus, many of the Jews were right about who Jesus was, but they were dead wrong about his mission. We see a perfect example of this in our gospel reading for today. Even Peter had the wrong idea about Jesus' mission. After Peter confessed that Jesus is Christ the Lord, Jesus then went on to talk about his mission. Mark writes, Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. And how did Peter respond to this? Well, Mark tells us that Peter took Jesus aside and rebuked him. Here's what Peter said. No way, Jesus. That is never going to happen to you. Now, why was Peter refusing to accept that Jesus would die? I mean, Jesus even told them ahead of time that he would rise again on the third day, but that didn't make any difference either. Simply put, Peter did not want Jesus to die at all. I wonder why. Well, you need to understand that Peter didn't want to think about Jesus' death, because then Peter would have to think about his own sin. Now, we dare not judge Peter too harshly, as though we are innocent of such worldly attitudes. My friends, we are also guilty of wanting Jesus to be a superhero. Why is it? Think about it. Why is it that we have so many more people in church on Easter Sunday than we do on Good Friday? We American Christians like to bask in the glory, but we don't like to stand before the cross and acknowledge that our sin is so bad that it took the death of God's Son to deal with it. In fact, we Missouri Synod Lutherans know very well who Jesus is. We have very orthodox Christology, to use theological terms. But are we also willing to be orthodox about Jesus' mission? Sometimes I'm afraid we want Jesus to be a superhero who will bring us physical blessings while we continue to live as we please and fail to repent of our sin. We want Jesus to defend us from our enemies, but we fail to see that our own sin against God is really our worst enemy. Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." And we need to hear those words as well. You see, sometimes we allow the devil to take our focus off the cross. And when that happens, we tend to get comfortable with our sin. And the result is that we don't want to hear about Jesus' death, because we have other plans, you see. But they're not God's plans for us. And so Jesus' rebuke to Peter reminds us also that we must repent. It's not enough to know who Jesus is. The devils know that and they shudder. We must also be willing to accept his mission. And his mission is to rescue you from your life of sin, that you might live according to God's will, now and for eternity. And Jesus made that possible by going to the cross, where he suffered and died in your place of damnation. In fact, my friends, Jesus is a superhero like no other, because he was willing to lay down his life for his enemies. In addition, unlike the comic book superheroes who are fictional characters in cleverly invented stories, Jesus really did walk this earth. He really did perform the miracles we read about in the Bible. He really did say all the things that are recorded in Holy Scripture. And he really did transfigure himself before the three apostles, one of them being Peter. In Peter's second letter, he writes these words about that event. Listen to them again. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory saying, "This is My Son." And as you know, the Father also said to Peter, "Listen to Him." My friends, we need to learn to listen to Jesus. We need to hear His words about His death on the cross for our sins. We need to hear His words about His resurrection that guarantees us eternal life with our loving God and Father. My friends, the good news today is that even though we are guilty of having in mind the things of men instead of the things of God, we can know still that we are forgiven and that we have the hope of eternal life in God's love. We have this hope because Jesus went to the cross just as He said He would, and He did that for you. And that means that you can come to Jesus with all your sins and know that you are forgiven. That means you can come to Jesus with all the anxieties and worries and fears that you have, knowing that He is risen and that He will rescue even from death itself, and that one day He will return in glory to raise all believers who will spend eternity with Him in the new creation. But until that great and glorious day, we modern Christians need to remember that we can learn two important things from Jesus' transfiguration. First, Jesus' transfiguration proves that He is God and therefore in control. That means no one forced Him to go to the cross. Going to the cross was part of God's eternal plan to save you. Second, Jesus' transfiguration shows us that Jesus uses His almighty power to be a servant. He came to serve us sinners. Think of it. Jesus did not use His power to serve Himself. He did not use His power to crush us, His enemies. Instead, He used His power to heal others. But even more, the Almighty God allowed people to nail Him to a cross so that He could save the very enemies who put Him there. And so, my friends, the transfiguration shows us that Jesus is God and that He is a servant. Now, after Jesus' transfiguration, He hid His glory and He led His apostles down the mountain, and they continued their journey to Jerusalem, where Jesus would continue His journey to the cross. How does this relate to us? Well, my friends, we are about to descend from the mountain called Transfiguration Sunday. We are about to descend from the mountain of Transfiguration Sunday into the valley known as Lent, which begins this week at our Ash Wednesday service. Plan to attend this service, where you will begin the journey to the cross with Jesus. During Lent, you will be able to listen to Jesus so that you might rejoice in His mission and rejoice in all that that mission means for your life, now and for eternity. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.